WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, still broadcasting in high-definition mono sound at AM 1570 on your dial. Make sure you're setting a preset for us. We are getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We're going to be back in Catonsville next weekend. State Fair, El Guapo, the Beaumont, all the great places. Going to have some Maryland Lottery scratch-offs to give away. I have a handful of holiday cash drops. Because I'm an old guy and it's their 50th anniversary at the Maryland Lottery, they're going to give me the old horseshoe scratch-offs very, very soon. So I'll have those into the new year. We're going to be joined by some great guests in Catonsville next week. But most importantly, our great sponsors, the Maryland Lottery, in conjunction with Window Nation. Yes, I have a bucket hat. Go to Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, if you need new windows. I got my windows last summer, and I should have waited. Because they're giving you a better deal than they gave me. It's a 0% financing for 5 years, 60 months, 866-90-NATION, our friends at Window Nation, and the Maryland Lottery. I've been waiting. She's going to be embarrassed because I've been trying to get her on for like a month, and she's really busy, and then the holidays, and then Lamar, and then really busy, and then the holidays. Rebecca Hoffberger's been a friend, a neighbor. I've loved her museum ever since I was a neighbor and moved in 20 years ago this month downtown. I left a year ago. I still have been at the museum two or three times in the year since I left because we do love coming down to the American Visionary Arts Museum. She is now sort of founder, emeritus. I don't know what she is, but she wrote a beautiful piece with the Baltimore Fishbowl, and I saw it back before Christmas, and we got all tangled up, and she knows I wanted to have a crab cake with her at Fadley's, and she's still going to be victimized into being coerced into down to having, and by the way, fried oysters when I have you down as well. Rebecca Hoffberger joins us now. What are you? Emeritus something, 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 but I always remember waving to you at the Visionary Arts Museum at any event I was at because we love that wacky place. And in your honor, I found a colorful, because I feel underdressed if I don't have something colorful on when I'm with you, you know?
You couldn't be underdressed. You have such a colorful personality. And I first really want to thank you for even creating Baltimore Positive, because we need everyone who has that in their heart to be expressive. And you give a forum for that for us all. So thank you so much.
Well, that's very sweet. You're going to make me cry. But I sitting up on the 23rd floor for 19 years, this was my view. I took this picture behind me, right? Like, so it's not... It's not something I see on a WJZ shot where they do a cutaway on and Marty and Don are waving. You know, I live the city, the good, the bad, nothing really bad, thank God, right? And I walk to your museum, I don't know, 150, 200 times in the time I live downtown, probably once every month or two, something, breakfast, lunch, dinner, events, you know, corporate events, all sorts of things, celebrations, you know, in your building. And your building was this, you had to go buy it, and you'd say, what's that shiny, weird glitter ball thing across from what used to be a wreckage site that became the Ritz-Carlton, right? I mean, when you built that, people were saying, that used to be the shipyards, you know? Give me your Baltimore, because I don't know your whole story, and I don't want to sit here like inside the actor's studio and read from the note cards and saying, Rebecca Aiden Hoffberger began her career. Like, I know of you from the museum, but your activism and your love for the city is what sort of spawned all of that to begin with, right?
Very much so. I think it's also love just for people. You know, Baltimore is kind of a cauldron. It's neither north or south. You know, it's been a place which has fostered unbelievable tensions that have had a creative outlet. Let's put it this way. The invention of the Ouija board was here. Madeline Murray O'Hare, the most famous, infamous, you know, atheist who took prayer out of school, but the first American Catholic saint, you know, like there's all these different factors that push against each other, but sometimes come together for a greater good. And that's my real, real interest. So I'm the founder of the American Visionary Art Museum, but I turned 70 in the fall. And
no
I,
way. I don't believe it.
Oh, well, I believe it. On October 1st, I retired and have a wonderful successor and put together a great team. I took one vacation in 27 years. And it was, I called or created all the themes for 41 original exhibitions. But with the smallest budget of all of the 13 cultural majors in the state, We are on every national list of one. If you have only one thing to do in the state of Maryland, go to see the American Visionary Art Museum, something we can control. That means from Oprah's destinations to U.S. News and World Report, the number one destination for the state of Maryland. So we've gotten Baltimore's Best Museum, even though we have the smallest of all the competitive museums' budgets. And so it was a real alchemy. And it was that sense of having watched so many millions of dollars be poured into Baltimore and then see things fail that prompted me to write my vision for what it would take to bring people back to the Inner Harbor and to sustain that vision, not for just 20 years or 30 years, but literally for 100 years. There's so much money that gets thrown here and there, and it's not cohesive enough to make a real attraction. So I wrote it out of love of wanting to see. I don't want to be a developer, but I do know what makes something an attraction and not just a commercial development. And I would love to add that thinking. So I put it out there, and I can't believe the amount of people. I get stopped on the road by strangers who go, I read the Fishbowl article, you know, of your vision for the Inner Harbor. And thank you. Thank you. You know, so it's had legs. So we'll see what happens. You know, we can hope for a very unified, more loving, more peaceful and compassionate city. That's like my big hope. I am distressed by things counter to that I've seen. You know, if you walk around the harbor now, it's like a ghost town, you know, and
I was there the night it opened, Rebecca. You know, like I have to tell you a funny story, because I haven't told this one on the air much, but my wife got tired of hearing it. It became like a fun old guy story I could tell. On the night that the harbor opened, there were whatever, 250,000, 500,000, whatever that number. It was just a lot of more people than I'd ever seen. You know, I was 13 years old and had been to Memorial Stadium plenty of times. So I was, not, you know, I've been plenty of Colts games at that point. I knew what 50,000 people looked like, but that was a different level. 4th of July, 1981, I believe it was, right? So I was 12 years old, and my parents walked me around the harbor, and I loved fried dough. So Anna's Fried Dough was basically next to Jeppy's, where the Swenson's ice cream, above Phillips, where the ragtime music was, like all of that as a boy. And we walked down the harbor to the Science Center and turned the corner. And you know where those rocks are that sort of slant, cobblestone that slants into the harbor?
Yes.
I walked down onto the cobblestone and saw a crab. Oh. And I thought, that's a real crab. And I walked and I slid chest deep into the Inner Harbor that night. And I walked around soaking wet. My parents had to bring me back on the number 10 bus soaking wet. So every time I would walk from where I lived at Harbor Court from 2003 until last January, a year ago this week, anytime we would walk by, there were always ducks. My wife and I walked by there 250 times a year, because we went for walks in the harbor every other day of our life, right? So the direction we walked in toward where you were. And I would always say to my wife, did I ever tell you about the time that I fell into the harbor, the night that the harbor place opened? So 40 years later, it became this stupid broken record thing. But I remember being there that night and all of the enthusiasm. So when you say it's empty, I have a different vision of how, when I had a special girl that I was on a date in the 80s, you had to take her to the harbor. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like,
absolutely,
if you really liked the girl, you took her to the harbor, you know, really.
Do you remember when Cisco was working at making the fudge, and they had the young performers who would sing and do the pour out on the marble slab?
All
the,
the time. We go in there and just listen to him sing.
Yeah, that's right. And then he became what, the guy who gave us the thong song, you know, but it was a place of opportunity for young people. It felt very inclusive. You saw everybody there, and there was so much joy. But I believe that comes from Marty Millspaugh and Jim Rouse's humanistic, you know, approach to what a city can be. I led my article in Fishbowl with the quote from Jim Rouse, who said cities were meant to be gardens in which to grow beautiful people. And because there's things that can be done in a city that you just can't do in the country. There are not enough people to support symphonies and galleries and, you know, a variety of all restaurants and ethnicities expressed in the most beautiful way. And that's, you know, the highest good that a city can be is all of our concern. And I love that you kind of were baptized in the Inner Harbor, you know.
I never heard it referred to. It. Wait till my wife hears that. Rebecca Hoffberger is here. She wrote a beautiful piece about the future of Baltimore that, you know, I at some point you're going to get me teary-eyed on the Baltimore thing because you and I share that, and you gave me all the flowers on Baltimore Positive, as many flowers as I have on my shirt at this point. But Baltimore Positive was really born out of me wanting to run for mayor of Baltimore when I saw the decay of Baltimore happening, when I didn't realize Kathy was going to go to prison, but I saw that things weren't going in a good direction. My wife battled cancer in 14 and then in 15 over at Hopkins. We were blessed to be living 1.6 miles away from the greatest cancer facility in the world that saved my wife's life not once but twice. So in the aftermath of that, I thought, well, who's going to save the city? And I saw it deteriorating. So I, you know, I created Baltimore Positive because when my wife checked into the hospital on March 20th, 2014, she's diabetic. So she gives herself shots, checks her blood, pricks her fingers, all of that, but never knew her blood type. Her blood type was B positive. Be positive. So we took that as a mantra to remain positive and to be positive during her battle. So I started using be more positive, B-M-O-R-E, because her battle was in Baltimore, be more positive. And when I went to get a website, be more positive was squatted on, B-E-M-O-R-E positive was squatted on. Nobody wanted Baltimore Positive. BaltimorePositive.com existed waiting for me to pull it down and claim it and have this story to tell you all these years later. But one of the reasons I did Baltimore Positive was all these years in sports, fighting with the baseball owner, watching that deterioration, and no one willing to admit that bad baseball, bad ownership, bad decisions clean the city out. I watched it, and I sat here, and I had a radio station that watched all of that happen on the other side of the harbor from where you were, and seeing the Red Sox and Yankees fans come in. Now I'm going back 15 years ago now, that how important, as you would say, Jim Rouse would say, bringing people together, bringing different people together to express love of themselves, their thing, and the gospel of baseball and their love of Baltimore and Brooks Robinson and crab cakes and like all Chuck Thompson, all of that stuff.
And Chuck Hoffberger, right?
Because he knew
not only the names of every player and everybody who worked behind the scenes, he knew their children's names. You know, it was a time where, you know, I'm so glad and so moved. I did not know that story. I knew your wife had had some health battles, but, you know, things that are born out of love have, you know, endure. And it's very interesting about the be positive and you know, your wife as inspiration for what you have done so well.
I love the city, right? I mean, like whether it was driving down Orleans Street to get to her bedside for 155 nights when she fought for life, or whether it's walking across the Pier 6 or going over to the arena for a show or going to a baseball playoff game or going to a football playoff game or a Monday night game or going to any of the festivals in the city that we've had here for years. And the city fair as a boy, that was a vision that made the harbor happen the first time. So I am very, very familiar, having sat with every journalist, every person that knew Governor Schaefer. I call him Mayor Schaefer. I've sat with Mayor Schaefer myself over all of to see that vision, and even seeing Mayor Schaefer with hair in 1971 in a green grass area that would become McKeldin, and like all of that, those things that were the pre-vision for the last renaissance. Let's call it the last 50 years. Your vision and the fishbowl. Let's talk about this and how the story happened. And now people coming up to you on the street like me wanting to give you a hug and saying, I want to live in Rebecca Hoffberger's Baltimore.
Well, you know, I really laid out as much as I could. But, you know, a big impediment, I think, to for people coming downtown besides the big issue of safety or perceived safety, or lack thereof, is also the cost to park. And, retail has changed so much. You know, people are not coming down to buy a t-shirt from the Gap when they have to pay $28 for parking. That's over, you know. But we have, with the ballpark, we have what is Camden Yards, you know, massive parking lot used, under 20 times a year at the most. And if there could be a way of welcoming the Baltimore Convention Center visitors to make it a joy and a learning experience all the way to the Inner Harbor. And then there to be more of a there to the there, more of a sense of joy and engagement for particularly families and young couples courting and older people to feel safe. But to do a $5 a day for anyone coming to the Inner Harbor from the parking lot at Camden Yards and make Conway one of the main ways to come in and feel that you, from actually every port of entry to the Inner Harbor, that you're being transported to a very special place. And my model for successful destination was really Tivoli Gardens, that was started in Denmark in 1848. And today, you know, in 2023, it remains the number one tourist destination. And then to think, well, why? You know, if it had just been the mall of its time, would it still have that? And I don't think so. So we already have so many of the Tivoli Gardens components. We have a fabulous national, aquarium. I wish they would add a butterfly pavilion with like a clear lucite floor to look at koi and stuff, you know, because those are very popular and they're less expensive to maintain than the fake Outback, you know, which takes so much energy. Because I have to think with how do you afford things, right? You know,
anytime I've ever been in a room with butterflies, I've been, it's incredible. Like I went to the Bellagio a few times when that was going on there, right? Mm-hmm. But right. I went to Butterfly World with my wife 20 years ago in Florida. It's on I-95, mm-hmm. near Boca, maybe a little north of Boca. And I went there and I thought their climate obviously changes things for where they were. I've told hundreds of people, especially with children, but you don't need to be a child. It's like going to Disney right. World. You'd be a big kid. But that's a beautiful idea, butterflies.
Yeah. So I think, as far as a bond thing, that if we had a united vision for what makes something so magical and that people would never get tired of, you know, you have the aquarium has a lot of credibility in Annapolis to go after Bun Bill to go for that. And the Science Center, to become on the face that interacts with the harbor, much more visible and alive as well. I see what we do at the Visionary Art Museum, and, you know, we do over 100 weddings a year. I mean, and this is mostly for people who live far away, who come to get married there and bring their far away guests and pay for hotels. So I'm very interested in not only, you know, what has the power to continually attract people, but what makes the financial work as well. So, maybe you can put out a link to the article in Fishbowl and to give an idea. But, you know,
extensive. I mean, I didn't think we were going to cover everything, but I just think on an inspirational place, yours has been the most talked about. And it's only been a month. I mean, barely a month, but I mean, I've seen all sorts of conceptual, you know, everything in racetracks and stadium and soccer on the sports side. Right. For me, but more than that, concerts and Pier 6 and things that I like to do and where we are with the CFG Bank Arena now. And that's been rethought from a 1961 sort of concept and updated. That I've seen glass bridges, Rebecca, right across. And I wanted to ask you this on a specific, and one of the reasons I do Baltimore Positive, I get to have wonderful, beautiful, you know, intelligent people like you all, we call them wise conversations at this point. But That glass bridge thing always struck me as something beautiful and wonderful. I'm a guy that likes the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, but I'm also a guy that went to London and I thought about gondolas. I've seen gondolas in Queenstown on the South Island of New Zealand. I'm a world traveler. I like traveling a lot. I've had more than one vacation over the last 27 years, thank God. By the way, just as an aside, before I get back to gondolas, where did you go? I wanted to interrupt you, but I didn't, but I'm too interrupted with my guests. Where did you go? You only been on one vacation. Please tell me it was somewhere good.
I went by myself just to walk to Iceland. And then I went from there to visit a person in the field of visionary art who was too elderly to travel to be with his wife in Poland, or someplace I'd never been. And then I saw my daughter in Berlin. I'm a big Francophile. I've lived all over the world as well. But that was the only
My wife's life is from Germany, by the way. So we like Germany a lot. So we wind up in Germany a lot because my wife's got a twin brother in Germany now from DNA. So.
Oh, and that she did not know about?
The match. He was her match on the bone marrow registry and saved her life twice.
Oh, how wonderful.
They do miracles over at Hopkins, Rebecca. I swear. I can't even explain it, but she's in the other room right now. Rebecca Hofberger is here. You've already brought up Orioles and Mr. Hofberger and all of that for me. So I'm going to get backwards to that. My name being Aparicio and the Hofberger bringing my cousin to America and Maryland, which is the reason I'm here. I'm here because of baseball and because of a Hofberger. So nonetheless, truly. So, but the glass bridge and what the water taxi's supposed to do, and I'm not an anti-water taxi guy. It's the most magical thing you can do for 10 bucks in the city, and I tell everybody that. Go out on a water taxi. But as an expedited way to get places, it is not a fast mode of transportation. If I was in a hurry to get to Fells Point from where I live, we would walk because it's just not fast. It's beautiful. It's touristy. It's good. I guess if you're going to work in the morning over at the Domino's or Under Armour or whatever, fine. I'll hear it from that perspective. But for where you were, I would think one of the big complaints of the city that I would have is, how do I get from the Visionary Arts Museum to Fells Point in 2 minutes because I can see it? And you can't. You can't even in a Uber taxi, whatever. I went to Kowloon and to Hong Kong, and they have the same issue, right? They have a tunnel taking you from one area to the other. And it's amazing you're there. It's like taking the PATH train out of Manhattan to Newport in New York, and you're there in 2 minutes. You're like, well, that happened quick. I'm glad I saved $200 on my room, you know?
Yeah, or the hydrofoil. Remember the hydrofoil in Hong Kong, you know, that like is a boat that almost – like floats almost above the water, you know, the hydrofoil.
It's very fast. Yeah, it's a fast boat. So I'm just asking for you with that piece of Baltimore's native intrinsic sort of architecture in the hill and where everything is. I didn't think anybody was ever going to bring a gondola off of Federal Hill over to Fells Point, but I didn't think it'd be a bad idea, but somebody would hate it and say it's like, somebody's going to hate anything that structurally changes Baltimore from looking like this storybook Amsterdam Europe. It's one of the last European-looking places with the ginger box-looking feel to it left in our country. With that, I don't think anybody's going to mess with it. But I always thought there was a better transportation way of bringing the city together. And I just want to throw that your way.
Well, you know, I agree, and that's, I think, a very, it must be a really studied issue. For me, I do want a pedestrian way to have people, you have to think of where do visitors come in mass numbers? And that's the convention center that we're about to put another 150, 200 million in, and that will be mostly dedicated to upgrading the tech. The problem with that is, yes, it must be done. But in 5 years from now, when they build a new convention center in Des Moines or Albuquerque or whatever, they have even more modern tech. So you have to go back and think, what is it that will make convention people say, I want to bring my group, and I want people not to be afraid. I want them to all sign on to come to Baltimore. So, you know, the one of the things I think is that there has been such extraordinary first, both in sports. but also in the field of medicine, as you're bringing up, and funny inventions and things and inspirational quotes. And I thought, how beautiful that anybody, a citizen of Baltimore or a visitor, if in the concrete, and now we have laser cutters for metal letters, that we could emboss in large concrete squares or do it as mosaics as well, mix it up. We could have so much of the history of Baltimore, the fun facts, the difficult things as well, but the inspirational quotes. We have, the Elijah Cummings, we have Babe Ruth, we have Edgar Allan Poe. We have so much. I loved years before I read Tupac Shakur's poem to what the Enoch Pratt meant to him. I'm telling you, not a dry eye here. I mean, it was so moving. So there's so much richness and unexpected richness about what Baltimore has given the world that I would love to see, it literally embedded in the footpaths all around the Inner Harbor. The idea of the roller coaster, Premier Rides has designed fabulous roller coasters in like Abu Dhabi and Japan, never in the state of Maryland, even though they're based here. And I'm not a person who even likes roller coasters, but I like them as kinetic sculptures. But in terms of what makes a city have a there to the there, if it was in, neon blue and there was a footpath bridge over underneath of it while you build the structure so that people could walk and have an observational thing, and above them could be the roller coaster. How amazing that would
I
be.
know Jim, man. They're brilliant. I mean, I see the work they do. It's that would be an incredible statement piece for a Maryland company doing a Maryland thing. And
Right.
I've seen the eye, obviously, in London and different
Sure.
things that light up. The one thing I would say, Rebecca, and this would speak to me with a loud shirt and me having the personality would love a visionary arts place, is when I went to Hong Kong in 2007, the most
Yeah.
obvious part of it to me. And a little bit was commercialism, right? Like we would say the domino sign is a big part of Baltimore, but it's a commercial sign, right?
Right.
It's not even the Bromo Seltzer Tower was a commercial endeavor. When I was in Hong Kong along the waterway, there was so much light. It looked like Vegas as a place of a point of reference to me. And I always thought, well, the weather here wouldn't support neon, right? That was my old man thinking, like, oh, that's why they can have neon in Vegas. It doesn't get to be 3 degrees and everything blows out on them there. And now, obviously, if you're watching out on video, you're seeing the purple lights of Oriole Park and the purple lights of Camden Yards and saying, well, they can be any color. They can be the Bills colors, or they can be red, white, and blue, or they can be orange during leukemia awareness or whatever you would do. But the light in our city and me living downtown on the 23rd floor, if I showed you my pictures from 2003 out my window versus the pictures from 2020, the amount of light and the buildings and what has been done with light to make it, even the street lights that were controversial to some idiot in East Baltimore, the beautiful Italian lights,
I
there's
like
a there is activity in light, there is safety in light, there is attraction. We are attracted to light, I think, psychologically as human beings, that a moving roller coaster, that something moving, there is something to seeing the eye in London. Now, it's not like the tower or these things from the 1700s. It's modern and it probably hurts the eyes of people that can't take too much color in a shirt. But I would think that that's part of the attraction is it's got to have a little bling, right? It's
Well, it's a balance because also, there's so many wonderful urban farmers now who are training young people. And one of the complaints that in surveys have been from people is there's not enough shade in the Inner Harbor. And there's, that's why I think Tivoli, that's this in Denmark, that has had this enduring success from 1848 to today. It are magnificent gardens. I'd love to see plantings to do with our sister cities around the world. I was very sad when they took the weeping kind of cherries down from right in front of I guess that's on Key Highway in front of Federal Hill. I would love to see a place that felt more garden-like with attractions, because if it's all pavement And remember, it gets very hot in the city. You need some place to also refresh. I'd love to see, they have those children's fountains to cool off that kids love, that, just come up, spray at odd times, computer generated, and kids can play in to get cooled off. And adults too,
I looked out my window every day and saw those kids in the fountain down below next to what I guess is Bubba Gump now.
Yes, exactly. And just to be, I want it to be welcoming for all of Baltimore. And I thought that every Baltimore citizen, if we do a big attraction like the roller coaster or anything else like that, there should be more benefit to the people who live here. It wouldn't take much in a city our size to divide up, within the 12 months of the year in a random way, that that's the month for anybody who lives in that zip code to be able to come for free or for a dollar or whatever, with their family, so that it really belongs to the people of the people who live here, and says welcomes them in. Doesn't, put up barriers because you don't have the money to participate. But you think you're speaking of the eye, but if you go back, what makes Chicago waterfront so great is that old-fashioned Ferris wheel,
The Navy
from
Pier.
Navy
Yeah.
Pier, right?
Yeah.
But did you know cobalt blue glass all over the world in the glass industry is known as Baltimore glass because Noxzema and Roma Seltzer were made here for years? But Karl Lowry, for 137 years, produced the most incredible colored glass. And a lot of that, I'm a big fan of glass vault too, because it also, you can patch things seamlessly with when you do that tar. And I'm very sad that we ever stopped doing that because it's such magical, particularly in the rain. It glistens,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're
So,
so artsy and you know so much stuff. Rebecca Hofberger's here, American Visionary Arts. And I want to promote the Baltimore Fishbowl Peace. Cheers to the fishbowl folks out there for doing good work here locally and loving the city. It takes a village, Rebecca, does it not?
it does. And you know what? Mark Twain said something, a little curmudgeon-y, said something like, all I need to know is that there's a human being involved and that's bad enough for me. And what I'm saying is that there are never enough good-hearted people, that we cannot be in separate camps. We really have to work together to make Baltimore the most loving, compassionate, safest city. It's amazing to me that just 25 miles, 25 minutes away, we have Columbia got the safest city in America 2 years in a row, at 25 minutes away. And it also got a second happiest out of all the cities in America for the last 2 years. And I think a lot of that's not because they have great architecture, they really don't, but there's the respect for the land with the park systems, and Baltimore has some amazing parks. But what turned around the most violent city in the world, the murder capital of the world, Medellin, Colombia, was this three mayors in a row who continued the vision that violence was anti-human. And that the best thing, it was called Todo para la vida, everything for life could be found in that city. And had they had a plan for the poorest of the poor to move up. And it was so inclusive. And it's amazing to me that in less than a lifetime, it went from murder capital of the world to the most studied turnaround city. And in a way, the bad rap that Baltimore has gotten in, kind of the poster child for city gone wrong, rightfully or wrongly, there is still some truth in that. We have a chance to show what can be, and it will take all of us, not just, a few. And I'm really excited about that possibility. And I thank you for your such consistent love for our city. And one day we'll have to have that crab cake you're talking about at Fadley's. And I'll tell you about the something before your time, that there was an Italian restaurant where you could get your fortune told there for the price of lasagna and a
The Palmer
Coca-Cola.
House.
The Bomber House,
My
thank
mother
you.
took me to the Palmer House. It's a block away from Fadley's. I walked by there the other night, guys. I went to the Hippodrome to see My Fair Lady, And I always say to my wife, that was the Palmer House, man. My mother believed in all that, right? So my mother was big into getting palms read and cards and all that. So I had my cards read, my palm, all that at the Palmer House, 1980, probably 79 or
Did
80.
they predict your amazing career?
I don't know what she said. I think she said I was destined for greatness. I'm still waiting to figure it out. I think Rebecca, I
Okay,
gotta
well,
ask you this. Okay, you were telling me the Italian Palmer House story. Go ahead.
no. I went there, and I remember there was a reader, an older woman named Alma, and they weren't tarot cards; they were regular playing cards that they would read. And she told me everything that has come true. I mean, I was, I think, 14, and she said, "I see you on television." She said, "I see you going across the pond, meaning the Atlantic, to study." And I became the first apprentice to Marcel Marceau all these years ago, right? She hit so much right, you know. So, it was just a magical part. Baltimore is unlike any other place, and you have to remember, this is something you may not have thought about. Maryland is a very small state, but we have always been the historic home of Army chemical warfare, Army biological warfare. Nanotechnology is applied to weaponry. So we have so much creative intelligence, probably more than any other place within a small geographic place on the earth, applied to weaponry. And what I hope is that that same brilliance, that creativity, will be used to apply to what can be, kind of weapons into plowshares. The great thing about, being the director for so many years at the Visionary, I used it as a scam to get on the phone to anybody I ever really respected. And I worked with so many Nobel laureates, and amazing visionary minds, from Martine Rothblatt to Ray Kurzweil, the director of Goddard, et cetera, because all that knowledge is here that goes out around the world. And what I really hope is, because there's so much potential that you believe in too, that Baltimore become the most loving city, and most welcoming city, because the attributes of what is here are so vast, but we have to lay them out in a way that everybody feels welcome in.
Rebecca, I can't let you go because it's been like a theme here. When Dom was doing the recon with me, we would talk to people about the vision for what, not the Inner Harbor, but Harbor Place, and that space that was Anna's Fried Dough and Phillips and City Lights and memories and all of the things that were there. I've had Ron Cassie on. I've talked to a lot of different people, Jane Miller, just a lot of people. On Baltimore Positive about what that could be. And you mentioned parks, and some people poo-poo that, and they don't see tax revenue, and they don't realize what it would do for the community around it. And you mentioned parks, and I think about the plague, which led me and my wife through Patterson Park many more times than I didn't know it had a pond, Rebecca. Like, I'm from East Baltimore. It took me a plague in 51 years of my life to find it. I found the pond. It has birds. It's beautiful. Never would have
Really?
known it was there. But
Did
how
you
it.
ice skate there as a kid?
I did ice skate. I played hockey there as a kid. I won pitch, hit, and run in 1979. I got to go to Memorial Stadium and play when I was 10. But parks and that space and what Jim Rouse and Governor Schaefer and the Lords of Baltimore in the early 70s and mid 70s saw in a vision for what that was. It served its purpose. It had its time. It got me downtown to buy a highfalutin place. What is that basin of the harbor was a fish market. It was a place of commerce forever and ever and ever. What's the next thing for the Harbor Place area?
I'm not on Facebook. The museum is, but I'm not. And so some people read the comments and to my article, and one woman said, "I used to go down as a young person to Connolly's, and whatever." And I love Connolly's too. I think I broke a tooth on a little twisted brown pearl and an oyster at Connolly's when I was a little. But the fact is, that's not coming back. There's too much invested in the aquarium, et cetera. And what we need to do is to look at what endures as a destination in this world, where you can order anything on and have it delivered to your you know, your home the next day. So the retail is different now. So what people want is experience. They want it to be safe. They want to be able to not feel that they're nickeled and dimed at everything. You know, you have to give them an experience they can't have so much in the county, you know, and I love, you know, I love the accessibility of the county, et cetera. So what I put out there was, how do you make the wonders of the city come alive for people, and to be that place where 250,000 people are coming down to be together and to feel safe and to see, feel happy together. And that's why even, you know, the idea of clamshell barges, and you can do a lot with, you know, government property that has been, it cost, I don't know, $500 million to make, and you can buy it now for $100,000, right? I'm really looking for, you know, ways to enliven that. And I laid that out in the article. And it's just, it's not like, oh, this must be done. But I do know what makes people feel safe and welcome and excited. You know, a commercial development is not the same as developing an attraction that will endure. And we can't do this generic stuff too. You know, we see Ripley's already came and went, you know, and a developer may be looking at who will be a good tenant for them. But this blessing of money that is coming to our city is really kind of a once in a lifetime of a city. And it can't be just poured through the filter of just even a very fine developer. It has to have that kind of humanitarian, and then that other element of understanding human beings and what will give what I call the there to the there. That, you know, Pandora, we just lost. But I'm old enough that I've lived through 8 different monikers where the city spent millions on, you know, Believe, the city that reads, Baltimore, get in on it. And currently your people are here. Well, you never hear that. And it was interesting in the latest tourism meeting, they went back to calling it Charm City like 5 times. I don't even think they were aware of it. They didn't even use the one they just paid over $1 million for once, not even once in the entire 2-hour production. So it's not like I think my favorite was John Waters, and they never used it. It never came into being. But when he went on Letterman with a bumper sticker that I got permission from him to make, and it said, "Come to Baltimore and be shocked." Instead of, you know, shocked, I wanted to do at that time, Blaze Starr was still alive, you know, Cal Ripken, you know, to have people looking shocked.
That's so Baltimore. That's so
right. And you'd already have, Hairspray was a huge success on Broadway. People would have gone out singing, you know, Good Morning Baltimore, and taking that, just like Eat Bertha's Muscles, you know, taking that Come to Baltimore and Be Shocked, John Waters, right, and put it right on their car, you know. So I hate to see, I've had to do miracles. People have no idea that because we get more publicity than anybody else, but that's because of the quality of the work. The American Visual Art Museum has the smallest operating budget of any of the cultural majors. I mean, by far. The Reginald Lewis Museum, since they've opened, they have a $4 million operating budget. Last year, we were down to $2.8 million. And yet, who wins the National, you know, Museum Awards over and over again? We're in a current contest. Last year, we became #2 museum of any kind, beating out the Metropolitan Museum, the Art Institute of Chicago in the USA Today contest, which is on right now. So if you like us, please vote. But, you know, I know what it is. You still need some money, but I know what it is to multiply that good. And I just hope that, you know, I'm going to have a meeting with some of the developers. Actually, I think it's the last week of this month. And, you know, I'm appreciative that they're going to, you know, listen. And I really hope it can have an impact, because I have seen so much money come into the city that you cannot see the value of. And it breaks my heart. And I don't want to see that happen where it looks good for 5 years. It has, you know, it's clean, it's well designed and whatever, but it fails to return. Now we have an uphill battle that Jim Rouse and Marty Millspaugh did not have when they birthed the harbor, in that we have since had so much negative publicity. And so we have to do something that makes it easy for people to feel safe and to fall in love with the city again. And that means our own citizens, as well as everyone who visits. And the plan is, don't put $200 million in the convention center, which is a 5-minute walk away, without finding a way to join them into the experience of the harbor and to fall in love with our city. Because a convention center, when you're in those walls, you could be in any city. What we need to do is to reconnect with what makes this city so precious.
Rebecca Hofberger's here. I love her, and I don't care who knows it. She's the American Visionary Arts Museum. If you've not been, you're not a real Baltimorean, so get down there, get your Baltimore card punched. If you've never been, shame on you. If you have been, you know how cool it is, and you'll wind up going back. It was in my neighborhood. It was my neighborhood museum back in the day, downtown. And so you went to Iceland. Did you get to see the Northern Lights, or did you not?
No. What's so funny is I went out there and, you know, they take you by bus way out.
Middle of the night, right?
Saw nothing. It was unbelievably cold. And they said, oh, you can only see it through your phone, which, like, who knew, right? And so all of these Japanese tourists were, like, really good at, like, looking through, and they would see a little bit of green, maybe, you know. It was cloudy. I never saw a thing. And I really was praying to see the Northern Lights. So, nope, I didn't get to see that at all.
It's one of the last things on my bucket list. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I've been most places that I really wanted to go. There's still a couple that I'm going to get to, you know. But I celebrated my 10th anniversary in Bora Bora. I've been to places, right?
Wow.
So I love the world. I love traveling the world. My passport's one of my favorite things. I love America. But I want to see the Northern Lights. So I have two things left on my bucket list. One is the Northern Lights. The other one is having John Waters on the show. So I want to say this to you. John Waters, a friend of a friend of a friend, hit me yesterday and is trying to get him on next week for the Christmas thing. So if John Waters is ever pimping the American Visionary Arts, he's the last guy I got to have on. I've had everybody else
on. Oh, my God.
So I got to get John Waters on at some point.
Well, you know, when I retired and turned over, the reins to my successor, Dr. Janine Whitfield, I had two people come to roast and toast me. It wasn't boring, like, blah, blah, you know. It was John Waters, who is one of the people I respect infinitely. One of the most creative human beings, and actually kind human beings I've ever known, and Freeman Hrabowski, probably the most respected person in the state
of
Maryland.
Freeman's been on a show a couple of times. Freeman and I are old mates.
Yeah,
yes.
So I had them both, and I've done this thing for the EU ambassador. I just got their highest award that they could give a U.S. citizen. So I really care about kind of bringing to focus on Baltimore, a global thing. We're a national museum by unanimous vote of Congress, and education center. And it's this incredible, not just visionary art, but mix of humor, of social justice. We're the only museum that the late Julian Bond put in his will, the great civil rights activist. But beyond that, it has, you know, the latest inventions in science, et cetera, woven into the thematic approach. So I hope everyone will continue to visit. And again, I thank you for your love of Baltimore and for your wife's good health and her inspiration to you. It's a beautiful story.
It's got all that color down there. So I felt underdressed in my Drug City shirt because I just would have worn my Drug City shirt. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour over at Drug City on March 3rd with my middle school musician teacher, Mr. Calvin Stadium, who's now 82 years old. So that's March 3rd. We're celebrating my dad that day. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. I got my my bucket hat as well, 866-90-NATION. Make sure you're checking them out. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is coming to Catonsville as well next Friday. We're going to be State Fair with our friends at El Guapo and the Beaumont. I'm bringing them all over. We're going to talk about menus and fun and food in Catonsville, the music capital of Maryland and of Baltimore County. So I want to get that out there as well. Rebecca, I can't wait to have you over a crab cake. I can't wait to maybe see pieces of your vision come to life in my lifetime. And I'll look back and say, I remember when Becca was telling me she's going to do that in the harbor. And I have a feeling you're going to roll your sleeves up here and put yourself in line here to be influential in some way. And for that, I think we're all blessed. So go get them, Rebecca. That's what I would say to you.
Usted es muy guapo también.
Gracias. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 50, making me blush. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive. Stay with us.